So, tonight I want to have a conversation to help us move forward and advance the kingdom of God in Monroe County, in New York State, in the United States, and to the farthest ends of the earth. I was standing in the cool shade on a hot day 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, watching my grandson Sam and Lisa's grandson Mason minister to about 300 youth. It was fun to watch them minister. Holy Spirit asked me a question, which he's been carrying through me these past 3 weeks, and it's become this message tonight. What is in your heart? I think worship prepared us. What is in your heart? Many Christians quote Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 as, "And they overcame because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." But they misquoted what John wrote. It's powerful and it's true, but it's not what the verse says. And as a result, most Christians are not walking in the abundant life of an overcomer because their heart is not right in right standing before God for him to release his authority through them against the accuser of the brethren. Yes, we do overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But Revelation 12, 11 says, they overcame because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. The Message Bible paraphrases it a little differently. It says in Revelation 12, 11 in the Message, they defeated him through the blood of the Lamb and the bold word of their witness. They were not in love with themselves. They were willing to die for Christ. The fear of death still reigns in the heart of many Christians. And the enemy of God is using fears and phobias to keep us bound in self-worship so that we will not boldly advance Father's kingdom against the kingdom of darkness. He's using the fear of death to keep most Christians from taking a risk. He's using the fear of failure to keep us from believing that what God says we will do, we will do. He's using peer pressure to keep generations locked into a fleshly, demonic mold that was not from Father. He's using the fear of death and the fear of discovery to keep us from releasing forgiveness. When Jesus was asked by the disciples to teach them how to pray, he told them how to pray. And it says, "And forgive me like I forgive those who trespass against me." Let's be real. The way I forgive is the way Father is going to forgive me. And when I haven't died to myself, that little hard heart allows the enemy to reap all kinds of things. Just heap them on me and heap them on me and heap them on me. Because I love not my life unto the death, or because I will not die to myself and live for Christ, I cannot walk in the power and the authority that Jesus said every believer should walk in Matthew chapter 18. Because I'm too feared with whatever, to go and say to my brother or my sister, "I was wrong," or "I forgive you." And I won't ever go and take someone else with me. And so I just let the enemy eat my soul because my heart is not truly died to self. When you truly die to self and live for Christ, the Lord will be the stability of your times. He will be for you a wealth of salvation, of wisdom and knowledge, and the fear of the Lord becomes your treasure. That's what the Lord said through Isaiah in chapter 33, verse 6. When we die to ourself, all of these things of the kingdom become realities in our life. Your hands are His hands. Your mouth is His mouth. When He sends you, He expects you to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Is Jesus a liar? No. And Jesus said, you will do these things. You can cast out demons. But dogs and demons smell fear. And when my heart is not dead to self, they know they've got an avenue to say no. Remember the children's, I don't know why it was a children's story, Billy Goat's Gruff? Trolls really do live under bridges, by the way. When people die, spirits of death hover in those places. But they'll just wait and send a bigger one. And they'll wait and send a bigger one till they finally have one that knows your heart has not died. I truly believe Jesus was singing that song. When He was in the garden, there was nothing in His heart that loved the world more than it loved Father. And so there was no thing the enemy could pull against Him. There was no political pressure. There was no economic pressure. There was no family pressure. There was nothing the enemy could use to pull Jesus out of the place where His face was set like flint to fulfill Father's will for His life, because He died to Himself. Our heart must be free from everything the enemy could use to cause us to exalt ourselves. Why? As the Lord said through Isaiah in Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. See, when I don't die to myself, I create an idol in my heart that only I can get rid of. I have to take it and lay it down at the foot of the cross of Jesus. So what is in your heart? In Proverbs 4:23, Rob set us up last week. It says to watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. From your heart, your spirit being, flow the issues of life. Truth and lies. What comes out of your mouth doesn't come out of your belly, it comes out of your heart. The Hebrew word that's used here for diligence is mishmar, which comes from the word shamar, giving us the meaning to set a guard or make a deposit or be diligent. So we're supposed to set a guard around our heart. We're supposed to make a deposit in our heart, and we're supposed to be diligent to keep it for the Lord. We're told to set a hedge around our heart, to guard it, to protect it, and to attend to it. Why? If you looked at my garden right now, it's full of weeds. That's what happens to our hearts when we don't tend it, when we don't protect it. Then the critters come. Every ite. The Complete Jerusalem Bible for Proverbs 4:23 says, your heart is the source of life's consequences. How many times have you heard a brother or sister say, well, I didn't get a good break. Well, God's not fair. I guarantee you God's not fair. He's just. But my heart is the source of my life's consequences. When God is selecting leaders, you see it all through the scripture, he looks at the heart. He doesn't look for the beauty queen. He doesn't look for the captain of the football team. He looks for those who have a heart yielded, pliable in his hands. So let me ask you a few questions. I know some of you have just about finished school for the year, but I do expect answers. Is Jesus the Word of God? In John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 and verse 14, Holy Spirit had John write, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of truth and grace." Eternal. El Olam. The eternal God. Does the Word of God ever change? People try to change it. I've been asked many times in many nations over the last 6 weeks, what is my opinion? This is my opinion. Were you made in the image and likeness of God? Yes, you were made in his image and likeness. Women know how to read the instruction. When they bring home a new microwave, when they bring home a new whatever, guys put the instructions in a filing cabinet, and when all else fails, they ask their wife what's going on. If you were made in his image and likeness, this is the manufacturer's handbook. This is the instructions. It's not multiple choice. It's not rip out Malachi because I don't like the way he prophesied. It's not go just to the book of John and 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John because he's so cool. Everything from Reshith Elohim in the beginning to Amen at the end of Revelation never changes. And buried in there, the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 13:8 tells us, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is always the same. Yesterday, today, yes, and forever to the ages. He never changes. He is the Word of God. Well, I'm only going to believe him on Saturday night or Sunday morning, because I have to obey my boss, my teacher. Yes. But if I so know what's in here, and they ask me to do anything counter to it, I have the authority to change what they ask me to do. And so do you. If I've died to myself. Who is the way we get our hearts right before God? Jesus. In John 14:6, Jesus said to the man speaking with him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." That's the narrow path. It's not all of my educational degrees. It's not all of my training. It's not all of the extracurricular activities that I do. It's not all of the alms that I give. It's not all of the things that I do to be a good person. It's what's in my heart. Could it be that Jesus was showing us how to ensure that we would be overcomers? Do you think Jesus took the 12 with him for 3 years so he could have some bodyguards to keep him from the tens and tens and tens of thousands of people that surrounded him? He was showing them how to have a right heart before Father. And I'm willing to say that every man, woman, and child who hears this can find themselves in one of the 12. In the imperfect 12. Before Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And before they received the baptism, the immersion of the Holy Spirit in the upper room. One of my favorite passages since 1980 has been Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this stuff, all these things will be added to you. You can be a great athlete. You can be a phenomenal wife. You can be a super man father. And you can miss your eternal destiny. Because your heart did not have the things of the kingdom of God. Most of you are old enough to remember the, and I won't mention their name, hamburger establishment that told us we could have it our way. You should have it Yahweh. Because that's the only way. Is he the one who not only crafts your heart, but redeems your heart and sanctifies your heart day by day in his presence? When we were in Honduras, we had probably the most established schedule we've had in the 10 years I've been going to Honduras. But it was still flexible and variable and changed. And they finally realized that they had to tell me what time we had to be ready in the morning, because I backed it up 2 hours so I could spend time with the Lord before I left my room. Is he the priority of your life? Dear God, Casey wants me to stop at the flower shop on the way home. Oh, dear God, I've got this extra meeting today. Dear God, I got this. Dear God, I got this. Dear God, well, I'm late. I'll talk to you later. And I walk out the door. And that's how we pray. Do we ever let him permeate our heart? Do we ever, we sang, "I fall down on my knees tonight." It's how I end my prayer every morning. I fall on my knees and I say, "Speak to my heart. What is it that you want me to know?" And he'll whisper something, or he'll show me a Bible verse, or he'll have someone call me. Twice, I've audibly heard him speak to me. It's awesome. But you've got to have a heart that says, "I'm going to take the time to wait on you." See, that's seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness. So do you think Jesus might know something about our hearts? Just a little. He created it. Just like the communion message tonight. He created it pure and perfect. And then the first time I rebelled against mom or dad in their arms, my heart started to get corrupted. But not only did he create it, he redeemed it with his blood. But then he went beyond redemption. He desires to sanctify our heart with his presence. And he's a gentleman. Holy Spirit will not push you because, as we started the service, he is a leader. He will lead you. He will lead you to the place where he can pour in just what you need from his word to get over yourself, to get over the offense that has kept you bound and shackled, sometimes for 6 or 7 decades. I have a friend who turned 70 today. My prayer for them was that they would have a decade of multiplication and increase out of the words of life their mouth speaks. Do you know you walk on your words? It's either going to be that muck and mire and slush that Casey told us about, or it's going to be the glory of the Lord. See, that was one of the things prophetically about this year, is that the soil of our life was either going to be the muck and the mire that we were sinking down into, or we were going to allow him to set us upon the rock and allow him to take all of that dirty soil and compost it and bring it back to life again. Our hearts need life. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it says, "The good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." The Message quotes Jesus as saying this in Luke 6:45. "It is you who are, not what you say and do that counts. Your true being brims over into the true words and deeds." Right here in my heart. That's where the issues of life flow out of. Jesus said this with the very same breath in which he told us to judge a tree by its fruit, whether it's good fruit or bad fruit. You know, that's the only thing the Bible tells us to judge, is fruit. Is it love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Oh, that's good. Or is it the other things in Galatians chapter 5 that most of us just hang on to? They become idols. And then we begin to judge out of the flesh instead of judging out of the truth of the Spirit of God. In Luke 6:43 and 44, just before Jesus talked about what comes out of our mouth, he said, "For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush." When the devil tried to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, the devil tried to get Jesus to deny who he was. Jesus is the Word of God. We've all agreed on that. And the devil tried to get him to deny who he was. I believe that Jesus was tempted by every demon that fell with Lucifer for 40 days and 40 nights, and then the devil himself tested him the last 3 times, and every demon failed, so that you can overcome every demon, even the devil himself, when I love not my life unto the death. When my heart is so yielded to Jesus that my last breath will be his name, no matter what. Jesus is the Word of God, and the devil tried to get the Word of God to deny that he was the Word of God. Has he ever tried to get you to deny that you are the Son or the daughter of the living God? When I have a wounded heart that is not dead to itself, the devil can put his claw in. And whatever the issue was from my distant past or from my recent days, he knows exactly what to say and how to pick at that scab. Jesus wants to give you a healed heart. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Do you know who Jesus quoted? Himself. Is he the Word of God? That means that I can't throw away the old covenant. It has been replaced by a greater covenant, but Jesus is the old covenant. He quoted himself from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Do you have breakfast this morning? Anybody have lunch or a snack? Have you had dinner yet? We eat after church. Some of us ate three times today, right? Is that the normal lifestyle? Have you eaten the Word of God today? I feed my flesh three times a day and snack as I have cravings. Have you ever craved the Word of God? Couldn't get enough, just had to flip through it and see what he was saying. We need to have a diet of his word. Because that's the only thing that's going to protect our heart. It's the only thing that's going to change our heart's perspective on the issues of the world. Do you think Father's in heaven wringing his hands over the drone that was shot down over the Gulf of Iran? He sees the end from the beginning of every matter. That means nothing surprises him. We see the beginning and we try to pick what the end's going to be because our heart is not aligned with his. When we align with him and his word is in our heart, all of a sudden Holy Spirit can quicken your heart and your mind to come into agreement with the Word of God, and all of the lies that are floating around the earth can't affect you. In the 1960s and early 70s, they told dead man jokes. Some of you remember those? Dead men don't feel pain. Dead men don't tell lies. Dead men don't tell lies, and dead men or women who have died to themselves don't feel pain. So when the enemy torments you, harasses your mind, your intellect, your emotions, otherwise known as your soul, it's because your heart has not died to self. And so he's got a claw hold that he can pull you back into the slimy pit of accusation. Not after tonight. I'm a man of simple faith. I'm a pretty simple person. Does the Bible say, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God? Romans 19:17. I so believe that is the will to way to build faith in my heart that I've been reading out loud to myself for over 35 years. I read the Word of God out loud. I don't understand everything I read, but it goes deep into my spirit, and Holy Spirit can quicken it. We were at a statewide leaders meeting, and it was about quarter after four in the morning. I was in the conference room area where we worship, and I was just, it was the only place I could turn on a light without waking people up. And I was just minding my own business, reading my Bible. And one of the leaders from a church in Buffalo came in. I waved to him and I kept on reading. That night he was the speaker. And after I had finished reading at breakfast, he asked me a question. And that night in his message, he said, at quarter after four this morning, I walked out into this room and Al was sitting there reading out loud the Bible to himself. No one else was in the room. He said he really does what's in the Word of God. See, if you die to yourself, you're going to do the Word. Because it becomes a shield. It becomes a sword. When you are living the Word, doing the Word, speaking the Word, all of a sudden the angels know they have to respond to the Word that Father's put in you. Because He's given them charge over it and over you. And when you come into agreement with heaven on earth, guess what? It opens earth to heaven. When we came into agreement with Him in worship tonight, the portal opened. And we were able to get what we needed. I want to feed my heart and my soul on truth so that I can produce the fruit of His presence. And I'm a long way from there. So listen to what Jesus told His disciples in Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through 23. And He called the crowd to Him again, and He began saying to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand there is nothing outside the man which can defile him if it goes into him, but the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And when He had left the crowd and entered the house, His disciples questioned Him about the parable. And He said to them, are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not go into his heart, but it goes into his stomach and is eliminated? Thus He declared all foods clean. And He was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile a man. Guilty. Here's my heart, Lord. Make it new. So the words of our mouth really reveal the issues of our heart. Proverbs 4:24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. The Hebrew word for deceitful and devious mean distorted, false, crooked, or perverse. It means to turn aside or to depart. On Saturday, September 29th, we're going to start the Hebrew year 5780. It's the decade of pay. It's the decade of the mouth. It's the decade in which the authority of what is in our heart will determine the path that we walk on. It's the decade in which the believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, should be speaking truth and love out of the innermost parts of our being, out of our hearts, should come words of life that set captives free. In boardrooms, on buses, in the shopping centers, in the homes, everywhere. We're entering into a decade where the authority of our words will determine our destiny. Every day we have choices to make. And those choices will determine what's in our heart. So let me conclude by asking you a question. What is in your heart? The Lord wants to do heart surgery on us tonight. It's what worship was all about. It's what the pre-service was all about. Did you know what I was speaking on? Did you know what I was speaking on? Only Holy Spirit knew what I was speaking on. But He orchestrated everything for us to examine our hearts. What is in your heart? If you had to give Him the sliver that was in your eye, what is in your heart that will allow Him to remove the sliver from your eye? What is in your heart that keeps you from seeing the beauty in the fallen person that has not heard the hope of Jesus Christ? And all we see is skin color, economic status, or title. That's a wounded heart. You should be able to look at anyone and see the fruit of the presence of the Spirit of God in their lives. What is in your heart? Is there something you need to give to Him so that from this moment on, He can begin to do a restructuring of your heart? If there is, I want to pray for you. If there's not, I want you to pray for me. Answer this question to the Lord. Do you want Him to do heart surgery on you? If your answer is yes, stand up. In standing up, you are signing the surgical waiver for Dr. Jesus to remove the calluses of your heart. Father, here's our hearts. You created them with the ability to love. You created them with the ability to create, to encourage, to exhort, to edify, to comfort. Lord, here is our heart. Hear our heart cry, each man, woman, and child tonight. Jesus, we ask You to reach through the lattice of our lives. For You are the lover of our soul. And we ask you to touch our hearts with your healing hand. We ask you to remove all of the issues that we have used to cover our heart and hide from your presence. All the issues with mom and dad, all the issues with friends, all the issues with society, all the issues that we have used as fig leaves to cover ourselves because we did not seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Here is our heart, Jesus. It is hurting. It is tender. It needs your touch. Jehovah Rapha, you are the healer. Jesus, we thank you that your stripes were for our physical healing and your blood for the healing of our heart. We ask you to apply whatever needs to be applied individually tonight so that corporately we can stand as your bride and the world would marvel at the work you've done. Jesus, you are our sanctifier. We ask you to fill us with your Spirit once again, so that this heart that you are healing, this soul that you are delivering, in this temporary temple called our body, can once again be a vessel your glory not only dwells in, but flows out of to touch others. Father, I thank you for your hand touching hearts right now. I thank you for the fingers of love that put Adam's heart into Adam are now restoring the hardened hearts in us as sons and daughters of Adam. Holy Spirit, lead us in all truth, but also lead us in every issue of life to choose Jesus, to choose the Word, and to honor Father with our heart and the words of our mouth. Father, as we do so, I ask you to use every person who hears this as a vessel of grace, love, and authority in the earth to push back darkness and to expand your kingdom every place you ask us to go. Thank you, Lord, for healing our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.